We're here with one of our favorite people, not in the world, but the universe, Congressman Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, in office since 2009, and frankly, the hardest working guy I know. Well, welcome, Paul. Welcome back to the Congressional Corner.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's good to be with you. And I do have to say, many people will respond when I go through the district, when I'm home on weekends, saying that they enjoy listening to this segment of your broadcast. So I appreciate that.
Well, do you think that's more me or more you?
Oh, I think it's definitely more you. I wish you could feel the fan, but I'll flip it harder so that we can fan the accolades your way, the love your way. But look, you know you're a great host and people, you have a following, young man.
Yeah, but I also got something else. Anyway, forget that. You've been on a tour, and you've been drinking all the water in your district. What's
Excellent.
That about?
Well, let me back up and state for the listeners that I'm ranker, meaning top Democrat, on the subcommittee of environment that reports to the Standing Committee on Energy and Commerce. And that includes, under its umbrella, the Clean Drinking Water Act, which just, you know, encouraged me to go out there and review the systems as they serve us or don't serve us well, and to perhaps do the modifications, the amendments, the resource advocacy that will enable us to have hidden infrastructure, if I might call it that, given the proper attention so that we can serve our home and business and school communities abundantly well with an essential need. I have said over and over in my tours that water is part of every life and water is part of every job. And so if we're for a jobs agenda, if we're for quality of life, health care, public health policy, we will take care of our water systems, which are in many cases very old and having particular needs. And we've done tours.
How dangerous?
Well,
how dangerous? I mean,
well, lead
we
contamination, other contaminants. We're looking at not only the infrastructure, the pipe system that delivers and the technology that delivers the water, the commodity to the final site. But we're also looking at water supplies. And, you know, we've had contamination in this region up in Hoosick Falls. We've known the front page, top of page headlines that Flint, Michigan inspired. And when we did a hearing a couple of weeks ago, we threw out there several headlines from local media across the country that spoke to a water crisis, some sort of break in the system. Any week that we might have a hearing, we could do that. And I was going to state that we've done several hearings within the 20th confines of the 20th Congressional District, but now am taking this tour opportunity to places like Wilmington, Delaware, where we were just a short while ago, and we'll be going in the very near future to Baltimore, and then other tours that will be planned for this very purpose, to raise public awareness, to drive public advocacy, and to suggest that if we're going to do infrastructure this given session of Congress, as the president suggests we should, then let's include that hidden infrastructure, drinking water infrastructure and water sewer infrastructure in the whole final package.
Hey, Paul, how are we going to pay for this?
Well, you know, first, a budget is a statement of our priorities. And I would suggest that drinking water, clean drinking water, and sound water sewer systems should be of utmost importance to us. So it should gain a high priority in the context of the budget. Also, the president is proposing building a $22 billion wall and adding $54 billion to the cost of war, the commitment to war by this country. And I think that that $76 billion request in just war and the wall should be displaced by home and health, where we address public health purposes, where we address domestic investment through a home agenda. And also, there are savings. We lose, if you can imagine this, 7 billion gallons of drinking water a day through leaky pipes. That's not just water seeping into the environment. It's tax dollars because it's treated. And then also, civil engineers, I'm not a civil engineer, but do have an engineering degree, engineers, fellow engineers will tell me that it is 10 times cheaper to repair the system before it breaks. And within the context of our bill, which we've acronymed out to be AQUA, Aqua allows for investing in technology that can retrofit your given home system, your home community system, for drinking water purposes in a way that will identify and prematurely show where some of the projected breaks could come. So I think it's a common sense bill that provides savings through avoiding leaky pipes and fixing systems before it's more costly to fix them, and through other priorities that we can reshuffle that will pay for this. And I think over the course of time, you know, you would see a smart and effective program underway.
Now, are your Republican congressmen friends or frenemies on board with this?
Well, they think it's a good idea, but they said too expensive. And I said, look, I pared it down to President Obama's stimulus package, the ARRA, American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And as we recall, he put money in for infrastructure. And for water's sake, he started with a given number. We took that number and ratcheted it up that number so as to account for inflation. So we start with a $3 billion improvement to the SRF, which is the state revolving fund. It's the vehicle by which we disperse dollars to the states, to the state capitals, and then they work on their drinking water needs as a state. But we start with that $3 billion bump in the SRF, State Revolving Fund, and then bring that number up by slight increases each year. So over a five-year commitment, we have between $21 and $22 billion dollars that are invested in the system. Now, that's a very conservative ask. And I've reminded my colleagues, the majority, the Republicans in the House, of that. I said, you know, the experts out there, engineers, have, through different think tanks, assessed the need for America's system over the next 20 years to be $384 billion. So, you know, the $22 billion that we're doing over a five-year plan is a drop in the ocean for what we need. But I want to provide the quantifiable evidence that there is effective use of the tax dollar here. And if we can get that track record going, then perhaps we'll expand upon our success.
So I guess the next question I want to ask you has to do with the federal budget itself. There's talk of a government shutdown. You know, it's very hard for me to, or anybody else, to believe that that's going to happen. Do the Democrats have absolute fundamental, you can't cross this line in order for us to go along?
Well, I think there's absolutely a concern about Planned Parenthood and the many screenings they do, the services they provide, the fact that they may be primary care for women and men, both in our neighborhoods across this country, and some of the most difficult to serve areas are addressed by Planned Parenthood. So, you know, I believe that that could be a sticking point in the negotiations. Also, some of these cuts are extremely tough. You look at the fact that they impact EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, in charge of keeping our soil, water, and air clean. That is cut by some 31%. Programs that we've used to address carbon pollution in our society. After we brought the world community together, Alan, in Paris to address climate change, that is a very bad message to send the world. And I think there will be some struggles in these budget negotiations. There is a further, there's an added complication because the CR, the continuing resolution, which is adopting the budget as it is and just moving forward, stretch it for a few more weeks or months, that expires on the 28th of April, which is just days. We return to Washington. We're out for a Passover Easter recess. After that's done, we return back to Washington on the 25th, I believe. So there's precious few days to try and get the negotiations done. There's talk that the Republican majority may push for a week extender on the CR, but still there have not been those meaningful discussions. You know, what I've said to so many in Washington when they're talking about the president's budget, I said, look, we also need to have in context with the budget the jobs bill, the infrastructure bill, the tax reform policy, tax reform bill. Where are these bills produced for us? I compare it to the beginnings of the last administration, the Obama administration. We had Lilly Ledbetter done as an economic fairness issue. We had done ACES, the American Clean Energy bill. We had done an ARRA package, a response to the recession that stopped the bleeding and brought the comeback about, which is still continuing. There were many, many instruments addressed, debated, and passed and signed by the president. And here, you know, what we're going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, or like they love to call it, Obamacare, on the first day in office. Well, guess what?
Okay,
we're almost 100 days into it.
Now, we're running out of time. I want to ask you one last question real fast. Do they need the Democrats, or can they do it without you?
You know, I would think they need the Democrats, but Paul Ryan has said that they're going to do this work without the Democrats. So, you know, I think that signal's been heard, but, you know, we stand ready, willing, and able to avoid a shutdown, which would be very harmful to the nation's economy. And, you know, there are fighting forces within the Republican Majority Conference, and they're going to have to iron out those differences amongst the extremes, the conservatives, and the moderates.
Our very hardworking and wonderful friend, Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, in office since 2009, and such a good pal. Thank you so much for being with us. When we come back the next time, let's talk about Syria, okay?
Okay, will do.